T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just lead with 6. Philadelphia had it up to 11 just moments ago. Embiid. Oh, wow. Embiid in the corner. Oh, that's a big shot for Philadelphia. Maxey for Embiid up top. It's Porzingis, and he does it again. Embiid, top shot. That should do it.
Wow. And along with Ray Dinger, I'm Glenn Macnow, 94 WIP. Do I see Derek Bodner there? Okay, we're getting them up. Sixers win last night in Chicago, Ray. They rise to 8-2 on the season. Doc Rivers gets his 1,000th victory. How
1,000 wins. He becomes the 10th winningest head coach in NBA history. I just saw the list this morning.
He was a great player. I don't think he's a great coach now, but if you get 1,000 wins, you're
top 10.
You're no chump.
You're top 10. They did. The New York Post is doing I guess this must be the 75th year of the New York Knicks, and one of the New York papers is running a series picking the 75 greatest players in New York Knicks history, and they're doing them like 10 at a time.
Yeah, I'm trying to get one of them for Tell Us Your Story, but yeah.
And Doc Rivers made this past week's list. He's somewhere in the 60s as one of the great players in Knicks history.
I remembered him more as an Atlanta Hawk, no?
Yeah, I do too. Okay. I don't remember him whole. I guess he must have been good enough to be one of the better players in the Knicks history.
We do believe we're going to be getting Earl the Pearl, Philadelphia legend, who was pretty damn good for the Knicks also. Anyway, they win last night without Tobias Harris, without Isaiah Joe, both in safety protocols after testing positive for COVID. And a hell of a win. And Derek Bodner of The Athletic joins us. Derek's been a while since we spoke to you. Nice to talk.
Yep, my pleasure.
So you wrote the other day, and this is kind of what got me thinking that let's get them on. You wrote, this is when they were 7-2. You wrote, they're 7-2 with Ben Simmons out of action after a month-long temper tantrum, with Joel Embiid looking like a shell of himself offensively, although that not so much last night, and Tobias Harris out these last few games. They're winning from drafting well and making moves on the margins that they lost for years. Let's talk about that. Embiid was really good last night, but has not been. What is allowing them to win? How are they winning?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I think Embiid's been really good defensively. You know, like even when he was not moving all that well after bumping knees in the opener, even when his touch was off, he was always dominating the game defensively. And really, when you look at it, and without Danny Green, without Ben Simmons, they have needed him defensively to keep them afloat. But it's just all of the, you know, first of all, they lead the league in three-point percentage. That's been huge. They're one of the top shooting teams from mid-range. That's been huge as well. You know, just making a trade of Josh Richardson for Seth Curry, drafting well and developing, you know, Furkan Korkmaz making a jump, Shake Milton making a jump, George Nyang in free agency, all these small moves, Andre Drummond in free agency, all these small moves that individually aren't really changing the direction of the franchise, they've just gotten enough of them right recently where they can withstand, you know, Joel Embiid not playing well offensively, Ben Simmons being out of the lineup, and still win games. So they've just made enough good singles and maybe doubles hits where they can withstand this.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Derek, that last night's game was really impressive to me. I mean, Chicago's good, and you're playing them in their building where they're tough, and I've been very impressed with the way the Sixers have played up to this point, but I got to tell you, I didn't expect them to win last night. I really didn't. And they went in there and they played a really solid game and won that game legit. I mean, you know, Korkmaz obviously goes off and, you know, he's 7-for-9 for 3 points. You're not going to get that every night. But I have to say that as a total team, the way they're playing right now, I mean, they are really a fun team to watch.
Yeah, they are. And to your point, I mean, Chicago is 6-1 against teams that aren't the Sixers. So Sixers beating them twice is impressive. On the road, a game where Chicago had two nights off in a row, so they were well rested. And I mean, they're getting—you're not going to get 7-for-9 from three from Korkmaz every night, but it seems like you're getting it from somebody every night. Whether that's Seth Curry, George Niang, like they're getting elite perimeter shooting from somebody pretty much every game, and that's really helped Embiid operate in the post. That's helped them, you know, when they don't have a true, you know, real creator from the perimeter. They just played very good fundamental team basketball. I expected to come back to earth a little bit. I don't expect them to be the number one three-point shooting team in a league for the whole year, but I think they're playing well enough where you have a little bit where you can ease up and still win games.
You mentioned Joel Embiid's defense being pretty good throughout the season, and again last year, 30 points, 15 last night, excuse me, 30 points, 15 rebounds. But he has not looked good offensively. The knee seems to be an issue. We've discussed how does this play out. I mean, is the expectation that he will just go an entire season, 82 games, with, of course, the usual rest, but play without interruption? Is that a realistic plan as far as you can see?
I mean, I think there's always going to be something that causes him to miss 10 to 15 games, maybe 20 games. I like him going without interruption would be surprising to me. You know, but I think in terms of what's happened so far this year, I think, you know, he bumped knees in the opener. I think that set him back. I think he struggled in the early going in part because he wasn't able to get the deep post position he normally does. He wasn't running down early in the shot clock to get that position because I think the knee was bothering him. He became overly reliant on jump shots, and his jump shot just wasn't going in. You know, last year on mid-range shots, he shot about 50% on mid-range shots. He was shooting like 25%, 27% through the first six or so games. So his shot abandoned him at the worst time, the time where he needed it most. I think both of those are coming around. I think he's starting to look a little bit better physically. I think he's moving better, and I think the jump shot's coming along. I mean, he made, I think, four or five from three last night. So I think it's all coming back. You know, I do think they're trying to keep him in a rhythm and playing. I think they're going to have to be strategic in resting him because they play a lot of games here over the next month with very few off days. So I don't expect him to be an 80-game player, but I think he's going to try to play through this for sure.
You know, I was watching Doc Rivers' press conference the other day, and he was talking about Tyrese Maxey and how, you know, what a good young player he is, and how it's obvious Doc loves the kid. But as you pointed out, I mean, they're going through a stretch now where they're going to play a lot of games in a very short period of time. And I looked, Maxey played 44 minutes last night. He can't, even though he's a young guy and he's very fit and looks like he could run forever, you can't, the way the schedule sets up now, he can't be playing 44 minutes a night, can he?
No, and they're in a tough spot because they don't have all that many natural ball handlers anyway. They don't really have all that many players who can beat a press. They really need his ball handling, his speed in that lineup right now. That's true even when they're healthy, but now that they're not healthy, they have even fewer options. They're having to play Shake and Tyrese a lot together, and I think that meant Tyrese is playing a lot right now. Certainly you can't expect him to play 40-plus minutes every night, even in the short term. Hopefully when they are able to get Tobias back, they're able to stagger Shake Milton a little bit more on that second unit. Maybe they can cut back on that a little bit. But, yeah, no, you can't. That's too many. I don't care what age you are.
Derek Bodner is our guest from The Athletic. You can follow him at Derek Bodner NBA on Twitter. All right, Derek, this is we're now in the sixth minute of this conversation, which is sets a WIP modern-day record for the longest a conversation has gone with mentioning you-know-who. Sixers kind of took a dramatic move the other day. They docked him that 300, I guess twice now, the $360 game check for missing the game. Say they will continue doing it. As far as you can tell, what's the next step here? What's the reaction, response here?
There's so many different ways this could go, and none of them are necessarily good. You know, I think there could be, you could see Ben give them, because basically a Sixers stance right now is, you know, great, take your time, get whatever help that you need, just keep us in the loop on what's going on. You could see Ben give them just enough information where they back off, or at least back off for now. You could even see something going on with the Players Association, because once you start questioning this kind of stuff, it can get dicey real quickly. I have no real idea. I don't expect Ben Simmons to play anytime soon. I think that's really the bottom line. You know, I think everything else is more you know, just public fighting and money and all of that stuff and precedent setting, which I think the league and the Players Association care about very much. But in terms of the practicality, I think the bottom line is I don't expect them to be back anytime soon, if at all.
Can you envision any possible scenario, Derek, in which he ever wears a Sixers uniform again? Can you ever, is there any scenario that you could foresee where that would happen? That he actually steps on the floor wearing a Sixers uniform?
If this fine keeps going where they're able to fine him and get away with it, money talks, so I think there's always a possibility. I think it's unlikely at this point, though. I think we've gotten far enough to closer to the trade market warming up. Like I said, December 15th is always a big day in that regard because a big chunk of the league becomes trade eligible. Teams are going to start struggling. So I think they've gotten through the hard part of getting through and getting closer to where a trade market could actually be viable. But, yeah, I think it all comes down to money. If they're able to keep money away from him, then I think you could see a possibility. I think it's still unlikely, though.
And just you mentioned trade. I mean, any rumblings on that? I know and understand that Daryl Morey says, I'm not giving away for 25 cents on the dollar. I got Ray sitting next to me every day saying, just make it happen. It's the distraction. It's not worth it. Do you see any chatter right now?
No, there's no chatter. Quite frankly, the fact that they're 8-2, I think, limits the chance that there was chatter. I think the only way Daryl Morey was going to make a move, just to make a move, to take 25 cents on the dollar, as he would say, is if it impacted them on the court, if that distraction, you know, was starting to become too much where they couldn't overcome in the short term, and if they really just needed help on the basketball court to still challenge for a good playoff seeding. None of that's happening. He's not really distracting them too much. Yeah. So they're clearly able to play through it right now. They're the top seed in the Eastern Conference. So I don't think Daryl Morey is going to change his stance right now. I think there's no real chatter that you hear of anything being solid. So I think we're here until at least mid-December, if not in January.
Last question for me, Derek, is this down-the-road point you were talking about where the trade market likely could start to heat up again and this conversation could begin. What do you see as realistic value that they can get for him at this point? People knowing what they know about him as a player, knowing his limitations and all the other stuff, the baggage that now goes with him. What are we talking about? And can Morey ask for realistically? Are we talking about draft picks or, you know, bench players? Or what do you think his value is?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's one that I think I struggle with the most because we've just spent the last 4 months talking about it when it's at the nadir of his trade value and the lowest point, and who knows whether or not that can rebound. I think there are teams that are interested. I think Minnesota would make a trade right now for him, you know, but I think that they don't have what they want. So it really depends what contender, what team that has an all-star caliber player struggles and can make a third team deal. I think Daryl Morey wants an all-star and a pick or two. And I think that's what they're banking on, not only to get that all-star for the stretch run, but also maybe somebody they can package down the line for someone bigger. Right now, I don't think the market is there for that, and I'm not entirely sure if it will get there or not. And Daryl Morey says he's willing to wait 4 years and as long as it takes. I do wonder what's going to happen if we get into mid-February and the best is you know, basically what the Wolves could offer right now, which is, you know, not great. Nobody that's really approaching an all-star caliber player. You're talking about two maybe starters and a pick or two, and I don't think that's enough, but I'm not sure if it ever rebounds as much as Daryl thinks it will be.
Do you look forward to covering the soap opera for the next 4 years?
I mean, look, honestly, it hasn't been that bad here over the last couple weeks. It feels like it's faded from view.
Yeah.
So 4 years is a bit much, but if I have to, I will gladly do it.
And I think that's the worst thing for Ben Simmons is that team's playing really well without him. They're 8-2. Yep. They're really fun to watch. I'm sure for you it's more fun to cover that, cover this team than the nonsense that is Simmons. So I think Simmons and Rich Paul have to look at what's happening now and go like, damn, this wasn't what we planned.
So yeah, for sure. I think I thought they would struggle more.
Derek Bodner, follow him on Twitter at Derek Bodner NBA. Thanks, as always, for joining us, man. Have a great day.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Derek.
All right, there you go.
Well, they have another big game tomorrow. The Knicks come in here and play them in Philadelphia. So the Knicks are playing well.
Yeah,
so.
Knicks are not the laughable Knicks.
No, they're not now.
Yep. Harvey in Somerton is with us. Harvey, what's on your mind?
Hi. Ray, you disappointed me. As soon as Glenn announced what the contest was, that was the photo that I thought of because I have an autographed photo of Chuck Panarek standing over
Frank Gifford.
And then I thought of the Y.A. Tittle. To me, that Y.A. Tittle photo is the best in sports because it typifies, I don't want to say it, but Howard Cosell, the agony of defeat and why World of Sports. My photo is on the cover of Sports Illustrated the week that the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and it's Nick Foles running into the end zone with the ball in one hand.
Yeah, I know that photo.
And it's on the cover of that.
Sports Illustrated. I know that photo.
Two things. The Ali Liston fight, another reason was the disdain for Liston because of his reputed ties with organized crime.
Right.
And also he had been arrested recently.
But the fight had been booked. Actually, right, it had been booked at the Boston Garden, I've come to learn. And that's where it was moved from. But it wasn't moved because of Liston, although he was unpopular. What did you have somebody, the Wentz deal?
Yeah, Joe Giglio the other day, guy, he had like a one-man theme of, I want Carson Wentz to go down in flames tonight. This was on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And the counter to that is, let's say if he does do bad, they're gonna bench him.
Yeah, I don't. They're not gonna bench him. And I don't know what Joe had to say. I can't take up an argument that Joe Giglio had, but they're not gonna bench him because, first of all, Ray, they're not gonna be that terrible.
Right.
They're gonna hang in. Tennessee could run away with that division, but they're gonna hang around. Second of all, they don't have a viable backup there.
No.
And third of all, Frank Reich, if he has learned anything, knows you don't want to lose Carson Wentz. You don't want to lose the soul and mind of Carson Wentz.
Right.
So if he's got him for the next couple of years, which he does, you think benching Carson Wentz for the last five games of the year is something that Carson Wentz would handle well?
No. No. He's going to keep playing them because they're – I mean, they're a pretty good team. I mean, there's, you know, especially with Derrick Henry out in Tennessee now. I mean, Tennessee's obviously got a big leg up in that division, but they lost their best player, and you got a whole half season to go. And the Colts are pretty good, you know. And Jonathan Taylor, you can see the way he's running the ball right now. The Colts are a good team, and there's, I mean, they still feel like they're in it.
Yep.
And as long as they feel like they're in it, Carson Wentz is going to be under center.
Carson Wentz has to play just about four more complete full games for the Eagles to get that draft pick. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's no...
He ain't going to get benched. Just root for him to stay healthy.
No.
That's it.
No, and there's nobody... It's not like there's a young quarterback behind him that they're dying to see on the field, or they feel like, let's get this guy in here because he might be the future. That's... They're not that. I mean, their future, their present and their future right now is Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Joe, you're on with Ray and Glenn. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Great show. I'm going to make three very quick points, and then I've got a photograph for you about the Eagles game today. Number one, I think we got to rattle this guy. He's going to make a lot of big plays, but I'd rather if he make big plays while he's getting hit, so he's a little self-conscious later in the game. Number two,
well, hold on.
Eagles
good news. Good news. Hold on. Let's take one at a time. Good news is the right side of their offensive line is a mess. Ray, you can get to Justin Herbert.
Yeah, well, the right side of the line is pretty bad. Mike Schofield and especially Storm Norton. My God, Storm Norton is he's not very good at all.
Good name, though.
Yeah, it is a good name. It is a good name, but he's not a very good player. And he's been allowing a lot of pressure. He's allowed more pressures off his side. And this he didn't even start the season, but he's already allowed the most pressures of any right tackle in football. No reason why that should change. The one problem it's going to be is the Chargers coaches know it. And so what they're going to do is they're going to have the ball coming out of Herbert's hands in the blink of an eye. So it's not going to be he's not going to be standing back there holding the ball for very long. If you're going to get to him, you better get to him quick.
So not the deep pass today.
Not likely.
The underneath. All right, what's your next point, Joe?
Number two is play action has got to be what we do at the beginning of the game with with Hurts under center, because we know we're going to run, they know we're going to run, and to keep us honest, you need a healthy dose of Smith, Goddard, and Charlie Ward.
Wow. That Charlie Ward, haven't heard of him in a while.
Or Greg Ward.
Yeah, him too.
Greg Ward, I'm sorry.
That's okay. The irony of what he just said is they're going to be expecting the run, so we have to do the pass,
mm-hmm.
which is the entire opposite of what we said for the first seven games of the year.
Yeah, well, what you really have to do is you have to have both.
They're not going to buy the play action unless you run. Now he's saying, like, they expect you to run, so you got to pass out of the play action.
Well, I think you can, if you strategize this correctly, you can have both. I mean, I'm sure they're expecting the Eagles to come out and run the ball. So play action early in the game could probably work. If you run convincing fakes and you have the quarterback under center, I think the linebackers will be biting, and I think that middle of the field will open up for Jalen Hurts. And then if they react to that, then you can go back to actually pounding the football. I mean, you can make both work, one off the other. And there's, looking at the Chargers defense, yeah, I mean, look, they have one hellacious player there. I mean, this Derwin James, their safety, he is really good. I mean, he is really good, like all over the field making plays good. But you just kind of got to look him off and go somewhere else with the football, and you could do that. So the Eagles have – it's all about the game plan and give Hurts the running game to work off of, and I think the Eagles will be fine.
They'll be fine. You're going to make your pick later in the show. Hey, you know what we didn't get to yesterday, Ray?
What's that?
We didn't get to what we're watching.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of people get back to me. They say, like, I listened for that. You guys didn't recommend anything.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? We're going to do that coming up.
Okay.
I watched something on Netflix. I think people will really like it.
Oh,
although not you. But I'll explain that part. This recommendation is for everybody except Ray.
Okay.
215-592-9494. We're at the stadium. Little brisk, little chilly down here, but looking nice. Ray, what do you think? Winds, slight wind going east to west?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but not that it's a factor, I don't believe. Yeah. At least not yet.
Sun is out, although not in our tent, but the sun is out.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to have a great time. 4 o'clock kickoff, Eagles-Chargers, Merrill and Mike on the call. Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.